This is Channel 1 over. I'm setting it up for Miss Daisy this morning, Tuesday, the 21st of July, 1970. This beginning of Channel 1 right. Over. The beginning of Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over, and I'm setting it up for Miss Daisy this morning, the Tuesday, the 21st of July, 1970. This beginning of Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. I'm setting it up for Miss Daisy this Tuesday morning, the 21st of July, 1970. Beginning of Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over. I'm setting up Miss Daisy this Tuesday, the 21st of July, 1970. This Tuesday, the 21st of July, 1970. And the big subject this morning is what she'll say about her talk and visit with Miss Annie on last Saturday. We're looking forward to that. It was such a marvelous visit, even on tape.
In his jaw.
Yeah, that's his morning coffee. What did Miss Bessie tell me about getting clothes white? She said sheets, it didn't hurt sheets and things to stay out overnight in the dew. Mm-hmm. Well, I think yeah.
Okay. If you wash them clean, they'll be white. You don't have to let the dew brighten them.
Yeah.
I hear lots of folks say that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I've heard lots of folks say, leave your white clothes out overnight. And that makes them so much white. I said, well, when I hang mine out and they get dry, they're white enough for me. I don't like for it to rain on my clothes.
No.
Rain and sunshine fades them.
Oh, is that right?
If you let them stay out there overnight, well then you got to let the sun dry them. Rain. So I try to finish mine in one day, all but ironing them.
Oh.
I wash them daily. Then if I don't want to do something else, I'll iron them.
So when you start washing, you like to finish it that day.
That day. But most everybody do things different.
I guess if you get caught, if you get caught and they're not dry and you leave them out overnight.
Leave them out.
Yeah.
Overnight.
But
thank you.
But you know that every time the sun has to dry them, it's if they're colored, you know, you're going to take a chance on them getting faded more.
That's right.
Do you hang your colored clothes in the try to hang them in the shade?
No, I put them all out there on the line.
Uh huh.
Just put them all out there.
Uh huh.
And if they dry, well, you see, if I wanted to put them in the shade, I ain't got nowhere to put them.
Oh, that's right. Your line's in the sun.
In the sun. Now, some of my good dresses, my nice dresses, what I wear to church, you know, I wash them, I hang them up on the porch.
Oh, yes.
Keep them out of the sun.
Well, sometimes I hang sheets out here, and there's a tree there, and I get bird droppings on them.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes it's hard to come out.
Yes, especially if they've been in the mulberries or those other berries.
Oh, these pokeberries. That's hard to come out.
How do you get spots out?
Well, I just wash them. And I use Clorox on them. Sometimes I put a little on the spot. Sometimes it takes it out and sometimes it don't.
Uh-huh.
I seen Miss Johnson this morning.
You did?
When I was going to the store, she was leaving.
Yeah.
She had been over there after her meal.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. She looked about well to me, she is. In a long time.
Yeah.
She don't look like she's been sick.
No, she looks fine. Had you already walked to the store this morning?
Yes.
Oh, and forgot your starch.
Forgot my starch. Yeah, I had got so far, I said, well, I ain't gonna go back. Going home. But
now, you didn't tell me how you made that starch, did you?
Well, I mix up my starch in I have my water boiling.
Yeah.
And when my water boil, I just stir it in there, in that boiling water. Mm-hmm. Let it come to a boil, take it off.
But you mix your starch up in
water? In a bowl or something, in water.
In some cold?
Cold water.
Oh, first. And
I let it sit there till it's smooth. Then I stirs it up until it's smooth.
Uh-huh.
And then I drain it in my boiling water and stir it in that water.
Uh-huh.
As soon as it comes to a boil, I take it off.
Uh-huh.
Now my children, they use bottle starch or spray starch or cold water starch and stuff, but I don't like it. I like to make my starch.
And when you do yours, you have to put it in boiling water.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let mine boil. When it cool, when I rinse my clothes out, I starch them. Hang them on the line, and when they dry for good.
You just put, if you're going to starch an apron, you just put the whole apron in
the water. Whole apron in the water, in the pan.
Uh-huh.
Apron, pillowcase, and things like that. I put just a minute in there. Is the pan a whole, then I'll turn them over in that starch and mash them till they get starched through. Then I wring them out.
Oh. You starch your pillowcases?
Yes.
That's better. It sleeps better, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am. And then I just always done it, Miss Martha, and look like I ain't finished if I don't starch and iron my pillowcases. Now, some folks, they don't starch them. They don't iron them. They just take them off the line and fold them.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie, she been at me several times. Don't never iron your sheets or your pillowcase or nothing you sleep on. It's not healthy. I said, well, I've been doing it all my life.
It's not healthy. I never heard of that.
I said, I've been doing it all my life and it ain't done nothing to me. I said, I don't think mine's finished until I press them. You can fold them better. I can.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just. No, here's something. I don't iron my panties. I don't iron some of my gowns.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, I press them a little bit, fold it up.
Mm-hmm. Do you iron your sheets?
Yes.
Uh-huh. But you don't starch them?
No, I just don't starch them. I just press them.
Uh-huh.
Where I can fold them and put them away mm-hmm. better.
Mm-hmm.
When it looked to me like when you press them, that gives you more room to place them.
Yes, it does.
So I tell them I have plenty of time to do mine just like I want. If I don't get it done today, maybe I get it done another day. I can wait.
After you starch, before you iron, do you have to sprinkle them a little bit?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
I sprinkle them. Get them kind of damp, you know.
Uh-huh.
I sprinkle them and roll them down.
Roll them down?
Roll them down. I sprinkle all I think I'm going to iron. And then I just roll them down and come up. Then I go put up my bowl and my iron. See? Start ironing on. Well, I don't have nothing to do but iron this piece and fold it up, pick up another and do it the same way. But now, you take this spray starch. You get your piece and they spray that piece and then they'll brush over and iron it and get another piece and sprinkle. So I sprinkle all mine at once.
So it's, yes, it really makes it easier that way.
It do. It do for me.
Do you ever get starch on your iron?
No. Hardly ever my starch stick to my iron.
Oh. I've heard people say with that spray starch, sometimes it's...
It sticks. That's what I can say. I don't use it.
Uh-huh. I don't know how you get starch off of an iron.
I guess they wash it. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get none on mine.
Now, is that Argo starch flaky in the box? Is it sort of flaky?
Lumpy.
Lumpy.
Yes. You have to pour it in water, melt them lumps, and then stir it up.
I see. And you have to be careful that it's smooth.
Yes.
That's the trick.
So it won't lump when you pour it in hot water.
Oh.
You see, if it have your starch smooth, and then pour it in your water slowly,
yeah,
and stir it, it'll be just as smooth.
Uh-huh. I bet you don't measure it either. I bet you just make
no,
it out.
No, I just pour me what I think I need in some and pour my water in there. So. Then a box of starch like that you brought me, it lasts me a long time.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to use so much.
Uh-huh.
And then when I make my starch, it goes further than that can.
Now let's see, this was 16 cents, and I bet you a can cost...
More. I don't know.
35 or...
No, I think that's what they pay for it.
Uh-huh. And won't last as long.
Sometime. It won't starch a week. It won't starch
uh-huh.
clothes for a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you got many. I want my money to go for it to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you like it better this way.
Some folks say, now my granddaughter said, I wouldn't spend all that time, Grandma, making starch. I really get it already made. I said, that's you. I said, I think the time I spend making my starch and picking it like I want, that's time well spent with me.
Yeah. That's like making money, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Ben tells me he feels better and eats everything he can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, he sure is eating better. I said one day, Miss Miles, Mr. Miles ought to had the nurse to come a long time ago. She said Mr. Miles called her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And told her to come look at him when she was down this way. So she said she had to come and see Viola Spikes.
Uh-huh.
And so she just drove on down here.
Well, sometimes it takes just a little something like that, you know, to make you realize that
you ain't sick.
That's right.
You just sit around and sleep all the time. Do nothing and think you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't sick. You just know. Now, her coming talking with him, why, that looked like cheap medicine.
Yes. Some.
He eats good, and he don't sleep as much as he used to.
Uh-huh.
He sit out there, but he ain't sleep all the time.
And I noticed
like
that.
He used to. I got up and I fixed breakfast. I eat mine. He was still in his room, in the bed. So I said, well, I'll go to the store. Maybe he'll be up when I come back. He was up when I come back and done eat his breakfast.
That's a cute little.
It is.
Isn't that a cute little foal?
It is.
Boy,
this is mother.
Yeah, that's just a postcard. A boy that stays out here sent it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Miss Daisy?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when you got off the train up the junction?
Well, I don't remember the day, but I know I got off it.
You remember who was there and everything?
When I got off? Well, Ben was there to meet me. You see, at that time, the train stopped right in front of the house where Woodard Coleman lived. Now, his parents was living there then. So, Ben got off. But both of them dead now.
Oh, Granddaddy was already down here.
Yes. Well, he was here 3 weeks before I come. Before me and the children come.
Yeah.
We was in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Until.
Well, Woodard said that he was the first fellow Granddaddy saw when he got off the train.
When. So he was.
That's what he said.
Would it?
Yes.
Well, I expect he was.
And I thought you all got off.
No.
But Granddaddy
Ben got off 3 weeks before we got here.
Yes.
We come here in December, but I don't know what day it was. But one thing I remember. You weren't here long before it come a freeze. It was cold. It rained. In the house we was living in, where the water would drain down, there was streaks of ice that long. I said, Nina, tell me no more. It don't get cold in Florida. I said, dude, just like this in Georgia. I've seen it like that many times in Georgia.
You just came down here and got Georgia weather all over again.
And right away.
We did too, Miss Daisy.
So you did?
Yeah, we come down in 57. And that was the coldest winter, I guess, one of the coldest winters I ever had. It wasn't so destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes destructive is when you got a growing season,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets cold.
Mm-hmm.
Why, this one in 57 is just cold all the time.
Yeah.
And way down, cold.
Yeah.
Way down below freezing.
I remember one year, 24. We had some beans planted. Well, we were going, tomorrow's Monday. Today's Sunday. We're going to pick beans tomorrow. Oh, and the vine was just hanging. It come a frost that night and killed, that Sunday night, and killed them everyone.
Yeah.
Killed them everyone. By this time of day, when the sun shined out,
yeah.
all the vines was black. We didn't get a bean.
When you got off that train and Granddaddy there to meet you, now that was a red letter day.
Mm-hmm.
You had arrived, hadn't you?
Yes.
You had got where you was going.
Got where I was going.
Yeah.
And I stayed up there. We stayed up there to the junction 4 years. And then we moved on down here on Richardson's farm.
Well, now, how far was you from Coleman's place there?
About a mile.
Oh.
You're a long ways from us.
Oh. Which way?
Well,
on west of there.
That's right. That is the nicest family. When we come here, they was Woodard and his parents and his brothers and things. They were so nice to us. I remember we couldn't get a heater right away. We didn't have no way of making fire. So they brought us a heater. Good big high one. Big wide heater. So that's the way we had to cook and warm on that heater. We kept it going all the time. Winter's cold. They let us keep that heater until we got our stove and got our things arranged and everything. But Woodard, he living way back down on his home, the other side of River Sticks, back up down there. But every time he'd come, oh, this way he'd come by, speak to us. See how we were getting along. Was it anything he could do to just let him know?
Yeah.
You know, I never will forget that. I never will. See, we didn't know nobody here. We just met them. And we were strangers to them. Well, that's all we met. But they were nice. I remember one time, whilst we was up there, me and Ben both were sick, had fever. But some of them would come every day. Sometimes some of them come in the morning, some come late in the evening at night. Wanna know what did we eat or what did we want to eat? What could they do? And they just bring food there to us and them children. pieces of ham like that. They'd bring bacon. They'd bring rice. They'd bring tomatoes and vegetables off their farm. Everything. We didn't suffer for a thing, being drinking. And one way I suffered, I just couldn't eat it. I was sick. I couldn't eat it. But you see, some of it, I could save it till I got up and strong enough to eat it. They really have been friends to us. Never forget them.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz, Miss Daisy. You've just been living right to run into people like that.
That's right.
Now, what is that? He farmed too.
Right, yes, there where, at that time, yeah. He farmed.
Yeah.
So, he was farming over here. And Woodard was farming over there,
yeah.
To his place.
Yeah.
Well, Woodard stayed over there a long time after they all died. And I don't know what did he do with his place over there.
I haven't heard him say. Now his daddy farmed, raised, had
beans and things like that, watermelons, and first one thing.
Yeah. Now, did he farm for anybody in particular, or did he farm for himself?
Farm for himself.
Yeah.
I never know none of them to farm for nobody.
No.
They just farm for themselves. And his daddy would grow sugar cane over here, and Woodard would grow cane over there. But the syrup mill was over here. So Woodard would fix his cane and haul it over here and cook his syrup over here. Yeah. Daddy was right here, so he'd just get his down to the mill and cook his syrup. Oh, yeah. They'd make lots of syrup sometimes, but they'd sell it. They'd sell it all down to what they thought they needed for they sell. And then you couldn't buy no more. Couldn't buy no more.
Now, what did Granddaddy do then?
He was working on a farm. He was farming the white man, Mr. Clark.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He's the one that had them dogs.
Yeah. But I never seen so many snakes when we come here in my life. There was more snakes here. I'm talking about just, I heard Miss Annie telling us the other morning about, she didn't raise chickens no more. The varmints was so bad up there, and how destroyed the pears and the watermelons and things. I thought to myself, well, one thing, the snakes ain't bad as the woods. I had a wood stove. One morning, I was in the kitchen cooking breakfast. And I had a box up there where I kept my dishes. I went there to get some out the box, and there was a snake coiled up there with my dishes. Whew, I like to die. That thing scared me so bad. So then he was at the lot, so I went out and called him. So he come, he got him out. In the box I put wood in. one time I went there to get some wood. There was one laying up in the box, wood box. See, goodness alive. I began to wish I'd have stayed in Georgia for not to be treated like this with snakes. And you could sit on the porch and see two and three crossing the road side and side, just like that. But they were mostly these old moss snakes, chicken snakes or whatever you call them. They won't bite, but he is a snake.
You know, they're still plentiful. If you'll let them go and don't bother them, they'd raise out here if I just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
There for a while, I thought, well, I won't bother them. I'll just let them run around out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught one time climbing up there, and there was a little, I didn't know it, but one of the little ground doves had a nest
mm-hmm.
up there on a shelf in the shed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just there ready to eat them little ground doves. So I started sending them out.
Mm-hmm.
Why, at one time,
They say they'll kill rats. I know what they will do. They'll sure eat up your eggs. And they'll eat biddies.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kill them, too. I know they'll do that. I told him, I don't know about it killing rats. I said, but I do know you kill chickens and suck eggs.
Now that was, you got off the train right there at the junction,
right there. And then we had to come on back through them woods, you know, to where I stayed. Where we were standing.
You hated to.
Hmm?
You hated to leave your. You was homesick.
No, I wasn't. His Woodard's mother's church. It was way back there, the other side of River Styx. Yeah, back. Me and her used to go to church. She drove buggy, horse and buggy. We'd go there. Well, all of them, the church was so far back there, they would fix lunch every Sunday. And they'd go in the morning. Well, after morning service, they would eat. Then they'd have 3 o'clock service. And we'd come home. We wouldn't stay back there till in the night. And I was glad. Then I was kind of scared back there. It's so grown up.
But you spent the day.
Yes.
You and you take your children?
No. I'd leave my children home.
I see.
Well, I had my mother here. Well, if she wanted to go, I'd stay home.
I see.
I'd leave him just walk around like that. So after a while, it used to be a store house right up there, right by the railroad. Right there, the corner going to River City. So they, got that stove and they cleaned it out. I don't know where they rented it up. The man that's loaned it to them, what? Well, they had service there a long time, so we didn't have to go way back then.
Every Sunday?
Had it every Sunday. Twice a month.
Yeah. I kind of like that way of doing it every other Sunday, twice a month. It gives you a chance to
That's right.
Go somewhere else.
Yes. Go somewhere else sometime.
That afternoon service, that room was mostly you just sang songs.
That's right.
Yeah. Not too much talking, was it?
That's right.
What was Miss Annie like back then?
Back then? Well, she would, you couldn't see her house from the church. You have to go on back there, on back in there, to see her house. You see, Miss Annie, she's Methodist, but Woodard's parents, they was Baptist. And I don't know whether Woodard is either one or not. I know one thing. I ain't never seen Woodard in church many times.
He don't go with Miss Annie?
He care her and go on by his bin. But he's back time enough to care home.
Yeah.
I ain't seen him in church. I don't say he don't go, but I ain't never seen him in church.
I've seen people like that, Miss Daisy.
Plenty go, of them. Lots of them.
They go along and leave their family at church. And
By the time he think it's out, they come back.
Yeah. Well, they got something to do or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. It looked like they could take a little time out, a few minutes for church. Do you know, if you go to church, now I do, I can learn something and get something out of what's said there in church. Well, I have something to think about. You see, you know, if you go to church and pay attention, you learn lots of things. You hear things you ain't heard before. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, people will speak up, you know, and
that's
say
right.
things that they wouldn't say if they come down there and sit on your porch.
Sit on my porch, that's right. I know we had a preacher. He preached for us here some time ago. Well, he was to our church when your sister and I went up there to church. But he didn't preach about this that time. But since that, he was there. He was preaching. He's talking. He said this. He said lots of folks, they worry about dying. So they ain't got nothing to do with that. So all he got to do is try to be ready when death comes. He said, somebody will find somebody dead. So well, then they'll wonder about it, worry about it a lot. So, but that's not your business still. So all this was in the beginning. See, God knowed where you was going to die and when you was going to die and just how you was going to die. And that's his business and not ours. You know, I thought about that a lot. I believe it. Yeah, I believe that. No. Just like they found this woman over there in Micanopy. They had a funeral.
Susan.
Sunday. Susie. Yeah, Lord. Well, somebody said they seen her that Saturday. But the way they missed her, she didn't go to church Sunday morning. Well, then they commenced looking for her. They went to her house, and the house was locked up. So they called the law. So the law had to go in the house, break in there, and see if she were there. If she's in there, they said, lying across the bed, dead. She was fixing to go to bed and start to dress for bed, but she didn't finish. She just got off part of her clothes, and she's lying there across the bed. Well, I thought about what the preacher said. That was the way. That was in the beginning. She lived by herself, but she lived close to folk. But anybody going, now, I watch Bessie. If I don't see her out in the yard in the morning, well, I'm going over there, see what is she doing. If she's all right, I'll go on back home. Well, I guess that's the way they did her. They seen her Saturday evening. Well, she didn't go to church Sunday morning, and that's when they missed her, because she didn't miss church. She went to church and Sunday school every Sunday. Yes, long time ago. She wasn't no baby.
Miss Daisy, Miss Annie, you said she used to work and do as many things as you did back.
Yeah.
When you knew her, when you first knew her, she was
But she's never had good health.
Even when she was young.
Yes. Well, she was grown when I met her, when Woodard was married, had a child, and ain't got but that one yet. One girl.
But she could harness some horses. And
I could never do that. I was always scared of them. I ain't never tried.
She worked along with Coleman in the field.
Yes, sir. She used to work every day with him until she had a spell of sickness. Well, soon as that was over, she was right back there. I'm talking about doing whatever he was doing. She was helping him to do whatever he was doing.
That blue jay sitting out there just singing away. That's a blue jay.
I didn't sing.
Nice.
He's on the feeding.
See that beautiful thing on the station?
Huh? I see him.
Yeah. Now they make all sorts of noises. They don't have any pretty songs.
What, you talking about him?
The blue jay.
But he sings his song.
And he sings other bird songs too. Settle in there. He looks like a lot of Saratoga.
Miss Annie is so small. She talks so quietly. But I bet she can do things yet.
Wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I bet so, and I bet she do things. Mm-hmm. Yes, it would.
Now, you didn't see too much of Miss Annie when you was living back over there. You living too far apart.
No, sir, I didn't see much of her. We'd mostly meet at church. Now and then, I'd go to her house. Once in a while, she'd come to my house. Now, just like Wood's mother was going over there to visit her, but she'd ask me to come go along with her.
Yes.
So I'd go.
Yes.
I'd see Miss Annie then.
Yes.
Well, if Miss Annie come over to Miss Coleman, well then, lots of times she'd come over and spend a while. But it wasn't often. It was
the
horse.
Now, who had the horse and buggy? That was Wood's father.
Yes.
He had a horse and buggy.
That's right. And his wife could drive. Way after a while, he got a call for his daughter to drive.
Yeah.
Then she would take us over there. I remember one time we went back over there. Wood's aunt died. His mama's sister. She died back over there. So we went over there to the funeral. We was going to have a creek. Crawl. She fell through to this shallow water, and you could drive through. No, I guess it's as wide as there, like there, where you had to cross. So we went over there, and we had a man. I don't know what kind that man was to them. But that car got in the middle of that stream. Quit. There we were, sitting up there, in the middle of that stream. Well, I know what to do. I know what to do. And he just sat there. He didn't get out to try to help, to do nothing. So, the girl asked him to come and help do something. He told her, I'm not going to get my feet wet. I'm going to ruin my shoes. And he didn't. But somehow or another she managed and got it started and got us out of here. Now, I thought that was the toughest thing I had ever heard. Well, I had never heard nothing like that. I ain't never heard a man say nothing like that. You know, men's always get out, and if anybody gonna sit there, the women sit there, not him. Well, he get his feet wet. Mess up my shoes.
He couldn't have took his shoes off, I guess.
But we got out some way or another. Got on up to the church.
Now that was Wooded's sister.
Driving the car.
And who was the man?
I don't know who he was kin to, but he was part of the family, but I don't know.
I see. He was part of the family.
What, his daddy never drove?
No, sir, I don't think he ever did drive no car.
He just got it.
I think he's too old when he got it. He drove a wagon, a horse, and buggy. That's the way he
traveled.
Yeah. How'd you travel? Me? I traveled on foot, not somebody rode me. ain't had bugging, wagging, nothing.
Up
to ride
I
in.
Think it's right.
No, ain't had nothing.
Are you still traveling?
Yeah.
That book, let my garage.
When I lived at the jump,
this is one of
we used to walk, me and Dolan Mitchell, we used to walk to McIntosh every night to church.
Walk to McIntosh?
Uh-huh. You know where that colored church is down there?
Yeah.
That new church they built. Well, Dolan was living over here. Just below Iviston in a little house. Well, I would get ready, but as soon as we knocked off on the way, we'd go home and we'd eat supper. Sometimes we didn't eat till we come back to church. Well, I'd get ready and come on by to get
hooked.
And we'd walk on down to that new church. After service, I walked back to the
church.
Worked all day. Whatever they were doing, I had to work, and I had to work. And then when I quit work, I'd go home. Sometimes my mama, she'd be done cook. I'd go get ready for church. But I can't do that. No, I can't walk like that. As I tell him, if I could walk, I say I wouldn't have to wait on nobody. Go to church when I get ready. I say, but that day is past, and I don't worry about it. When I could, I did, and now I can't. I don't worry. No, I don't think I could walk around there. Well, now you see, they tell me this. Where you walk to work every day, dress like a woman. Because I don't have to dress to go to work. I say, I just have to be clean. I say, and I can put on any kind of old shoe and go to work. I said, but if I go to church, I got to change my shoes. And I can't walk in shoes to go to church like I can walk in shoes to go to work. No. If I could go to church like I go to work, I'd walk now.
Did you have to have, when you went over to church there and back in the woods over there where Woodard lived, did you have to have your church shoes then?
Yes.
Always had.
Sure, you had to dress up and be neat back there.
Even back in the woods?
Yes, sir. Now, I've been to store this morning and back. And what a winner. I forgot. So Miss Myers come along. I hadn't thought about it then. So I got her to bring it back.
Yeah. That's funny. I like you just remember what it is. But you don't have to dress up to go to the store.
Hey.
That's funny. I used to wear this, didn't I? To remember it all.
You know, that's right.
Yes, and it all you.
And then you got to change your clothes and everything.
Right. Wonder how it'd be if you just went on like you was to church and everybody done that. What?
Well, if everybody was doing it, it would be all right. You see, everybody changes up and tries to get you to go to church. So everybody have to do it. That's good. But if it were going like I am now, everybody was going, I'd enjoy.
You'd be a lot more comfortable,
wouldn't you? That's right.
You know,
I like to think about Miss Annie and Woodard back there. You see, they've got everything they need back there.
That's right.
And they ain't up there in the midst of a whole lot of people that makes noise.
Just out there, quiet to themselves.
Yeah. And they've always been like that, haven't they?
That's right. That's right. When they were way back in, they was back there, off to the south, you know, just like this now. Folks live that back there, but they live way away. And you got to their house. You didn't see them other folks' house. What was back there? And his house as far as I went back there.
Did she have flowers then?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, really?
Flowers and chickens. Oh, hogs. You see, the most of them had hogs. They have once but they just run out in the woods. Until they got ready to kill some. Then they pin them. Lots of oak trees back there. Shed the acorns.
And the
hog
runs
in the
Yes, they don't know how lucky they are, do they?
I don't expect they ever thought about it.
Miss Annie said she had had trouble in her time, too. What sort of trouble has she ever had?
She had a plan that I know. Just her family trouble. When her husband's trouble. But one thing I thought about, of course, I never did tell her. But I think she loved Woodard too much. She'd think things when it was nothing. Well, if you know I'm guilty of so-and-so, you won't think about it.
Just having one child, she maybe thought too much of Woodard.
He's a good, nice fella.
He's just as nice as he can be.
Well, she just...
With other folks, but you can take. I found this out. I know. Plenty of folks, they just isn't nice to other folks. But when he go home, he's just as nice. Well, you keep me fooled, Paul. He's really nice. But now, I don't know what he do when he go home. Unless somebody tells you, I've known that to be fact. Folks just as nice as anybody could be away from home, around other folks. And when they go home, they're just as nasty as anybody needs to be.
It's sort of fool folks.
That's right. He's nice at home. When they had chickens, he took care of them. He fed them, get up the eggs, he'd tell her which one to kill, Sometimes he catch the one he wants to kill. Well, you don't find many men like that. Well, he gives up his eggs and he bring them to the store and sell them. What he thought he needed, I believe, I know he would buy things from the money and trade the eggs for different things.
And when she was sick,
he's nice too. He takes her to the doctor's time. He takes her. He gets her there on time too. Another thing he'll do anywhere she wanna go to the doctor. Now, I know here one time she was sick, and some of her folks wanted to go north somewhere. I can't think of the name of the place, but she had some folks up there. They wanted to come up there. She would get better. Doctors upstairs was so this and so that. I think she went up there and stayed about 2 months.